As Donald mentioned, we have several in our number that are sick and shut in and several physical problems. We're thankful to be here tonight, and I know you're thankful to be here. So the songs we've just sang should build us up, encourage us as Christians to remind us who we are, what we're doing here, what our duty here is on earth, but most importantly, where we're headed to that home in heaven. Sing that song sometimes, heaven will surely be worth it all. Well, we may be tired, we may be weary, we may give out, but in this body, and at times, there are struggles. But we realize we have that promise, not just a promise, but a promise that will certainly be kept by our God and Father and His Son Jesus, that there's a home in heaven awaiting for those who faithfully serve Him. So this evening we want to continue talking about some things from God's Word that will help us as Christians to understand that certainly there's a reason to serve God and be faithful and to glorify God in the name Christian. In Acts 11 and verse 26, we find that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The last two Sunday evenings we've talked about Christians, those who are baptized believers in Christ. Talked about us, what the New Testament says about us in regard to some things that are used to describe us, some words that describe Christians. Now, those words that describe Christians have some meanings themselves that help us to see that certainly we're not just a name, not just a namesake, not just for the fact that we're just a Christian, but a Christian means a whole lot more than just saying we're a part of Christ. It means that we're active, we're doing, we have responsibilities. There are things that we work at in life. There are goals that we're here to attain. There are some results that will come from being a faithful Christian. I want to just quickly review the 7 or 8 points we've looked at the last two Sunday nights concerning some things that Christians are described as in the New Testament. We were described as a soldier. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, as Paul wrote to Timothy, he talked about being a good soldier. Of course, he was talking to a minister, a young preacher, but we talked about this morning in our class from the book of Ephesians, putting on the whole armor of God. So a Christian is a soldier, fighting against the wiles of the devil and the error that's in the world with the gospel of Christ, holding up the armor of truth. We're soldiers fighting for what's right. We're described as an athlete, one who is competing, one who is working, one who is staying in shape spiritually, staying on the goal and keeping our mind on where we're headed and going to that end to get that prize of heaven, not giving up. We exercise ourselves properly. We discipline ourselves. We learn spiritual discipline. We have spiritual exercise in that we read the Word of God. We study and meditate on it and let it work within us so that we become strong, that we're doing the things God would have us to do as we run the race of the Christian life to ultimately get that prize at the end when we pass that goal. Well, we're also described as a hard-working farmer. Christians are workers, and we don't need to give up. We need to be patient. We need to persevere. We need to plant the Word of God in our own heart and work that it will grow and the seed will grow and will be fruitful and multiply. That we'll be patient in planting the Word of God with others around us, to our husbands and our wives and our children and our neighbors and their friends and those with whom we come in contact. Not giving up when someone turns away. Not giving up when someone refuses to hear, but waiting for that early and late rain. Waiting on the harvest. For we know the harvest will come. When the seed is sown in good and honest hearts, it will not come back to the Lord vain. So we are described as hardworking farmers. Then also just described as workers. We are those who are working for the Lord, working in the vineyard of the Lord, going out and doing our part. There's a job to do. The job to do is to teach the gospel. The job that we have to do is to live the gospel and obey the gospel, to share the gospel. The job we have to do in the church as Christians is to edify and build up the body, that we would be pure and clean, that the church would be what it ought to be. So we're to work. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work. Work and be energetic and not give up. Work and do what we ought to have to do. Be workers for the Lord. We're also described as vessels. We are vessels for the Lord. We have been purchased with a price, and therefore we are a vessel for the work of the Lord, for the use of the Lord. He uses us in His service. We are to be used as one who is productive in the service of the Lord, in the kingdom, So a Christian then is a vessel. Not only that, but we're described as fishers of men. When Jesus called His apostles, He went out and told Peter and John and the others that, you know, I'm going to take you now, you're fishers here, they fish for a living, but He said, come and follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. God expects us who are His children, the followers of Christ, baptized believers in Christ, Christians, since we are called fishers of men, we are to go and teach the Word, to teach the Gospel, to bring people in, sowing the seed and taking the Word of God to a lost and dying world. We are fishers of men then to go and take the Gospel to a lost and dying world. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy that he needed to teach men who could be faithful men who then in turn would be able to do what? To teach others also. So we're to be go out and take the Gospel and be fishers of men, taking the Gospel to the lost and dying world. We're the salt of the earth. That is that we have an influence. And we have a good influence when we obey God and do His will and let the Gospel live in our life. We're a good influence by our very actions. We're a good influence by the words we speak. We're a good influence by the places we go and the things we do. We're the ones that keep the Word of God going. It's our duty to be a salt to the earth that would influence others with the good that we do in the living of the Gospel. There's an influence. We're a preservative for the truth, that we would continue to defend the truth and obey the truth and teach against error. So we're a preservative for the truth on this earth for God as we serve His vessels and disciples. We're salt of the earth. Not only that, we're the light of the world. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven would be like those that would be, should be good examples. The city is set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, so then, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And that's not a show just to be showing someone or making a pretense before someone, but that you may what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you and I as Christians, we are to be the light of the world, that they would see God in us, that they would see the Gospel in us. That would take the Gospel, the light of the world, to a lost and dying world. The Gospel is the light that calls others to God. Romans 1 and verse 16 is the power of God to salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Christians are described as light and also as branches. Christ is the vine, we're the branches. We need to bear fruit in Christ, be fruitful and be obedient, that we may be healthy and strong to support the vine, that we may be doing all we ought to do. We certainly don't want to be cut off and thrown away because we are unfruitful. So we're to be branches that are fruitful. And Jesus talked about the fact that I am the vine and you are the branches. And so we need to bear fruit for righteousness for God. So there's many terms used in the New Testament describing you and me as Christians, as who we are. And so we talked about that the last two Sunday evenings. So let's continue tonight and look at about five or six other terms that are used in the New Testament that describe who we are as Christians and should encourage us to serve God faithfully. Look, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We see that there is the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He talked about himself being a steward and those who would follow Christ. Then we're to be stewards also. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. A Christian then is a steward of the Gospel, a steward of God. We're responsible for doing what? We're responsible as blood-bought believers in Christ and followers of Christ. We're responsible for taking care of that which God has entrusted us. He's entrusted us with the Gospel. He's entrusted us to live out the Gospel, to be obedient to the Gospel. He's entrusted us then to take the Gospel to a lost and dying world. We are stewards for God. He's entrusted us to use the abilities that He's given us. He's entrusted us to use the things that we have in this life as a person to serve God with those capabilities that we have. Being a good steward, using our facilities, our mind, and our physical facilities to teach the Word of God and to be one who would work as a steward for God, as a steward and a good servant in taking the Gospel to a lost and dying world. Look 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17 while you're there in that book. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17. Again, Paul says, he's concerning himself as an apostle and a Christian, but he says, "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." What Paul says, he'd been entrusted with the stewardship of taking the gospel. He'd been called to be an apostle. He was one that was to go out and be a good steward in teaching the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. He was to use his abilities. He was to use that which God had put upon him to preach the gospel. We're to use our abilities to be a good steward for God and do His will. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, I believe probably majority of the people in the building this evening could go ahead and tell us what's discussed in these verses concerning the parable of the talents. And in these verses 14 through 30, Jesus simply talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a man that went into a foreign country. And he gave to his talent, to his servants, these things. He distributed the goods to these people, and he left them their abilities and their talents to use so they'd be good stewards of what he left them to use. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. When you read all those verses there in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, you see that certainly these people were left with responsibilities. They had talents. They had things that they were to use to be obedient then to the one who gave them the talents. We're to be good stewards of the abilities we have. We're to be good stewards of the things that we're able to use to be able to teach the gospel. There's different abilities. There's several abilities within this group. Some may be able to teach a class publicly. Some may teach privately. Some may teach both publicly and privately. Some may lead singing. Some may follow along and sing with the leader and really support the singing, make it sound good with the altos and sopranos and the bass and everything that goes with it, blending our hearts in service to God as we sing to Him. So we use our abilities, whatever that is. If we have 1 or 2 talents, we use them and we work to develop those talents. If you have 5 talents, use those 5 talents to the best of your ability. Be a good steward of what God has entrusted us with, to be able to serve Him and serve Him faithfully. Secondly, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will, and look at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Again, the same apostle, we read his words earlier in the book of Corinthians. The apostle Paul talks about those who would be ambassadors, those who would go and carry the word of God to make peace, to carry the word to other areas. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. He says that concerning, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So, Paul worked as a Christian, as an apostle, on behalf of who? On behalf of Christ. Taking the Word of God and employing others to be at peace with God through being in Christ. We too are ambassadors to Christ. An ambassador is described and defined as an official sent on behalf of another to deal with a foreign government. We have ambassadors to the French ambassadors and ambassadors to certain countries in the Middle East and around the world. The ambassador to Japan. We have these people that go for the goodwill to make goodwill with other people. So we are ambassadors on behalf of the Lord. We're ambassadors for Christ to take the gospel to a lost and dying world, to make peace between men and God by hearing and obeying the gospel. Are we doing our part? Am I doing my part to be an ambassador for Christ, to teach the gospel, to share the gospel, to show others and lead them to the way that God would have them to go? Again, we go back to the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So once they're baptized with what? We go teach and baptize, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you to do. The same commission was given in Mark 16:15-16. Go and baptize Go and teach and baptize. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we're to be ambassadors carrying the Word of God, carrying it into whatever area we go into in this life. Those early Christians, when they were scattered from Jerusalem, scattered abroad because of persecution in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Remember what we studied in the book of Acts so many times, how that they, when they were scattered abroad, they went what? They went everywhere teaching the Word, preaching the Word. They were ambassadors. They were carrying the Word. We need to be ambassadors for Christ today. Well, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Turn to the latter back part of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and let's look at that verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We are to be living stones. We are referred to as living stones. That means that in the house of God, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone on which everything the church rests on, it's all about Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the head over all things to the church. So in the church, as children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to be active. We're to be living. We're not just a stone that's put in place and just being a part of the church and we do nothing. Just being dead weight. That's not what we are. We are living and active. That's what a Christian is, one that's living and active, carrying the Word of God, a living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, we live because of what God did for us through Christ. We live spiritually because the Word lives in us when we study and obey it. So if we're living in Christ, we're going to be active. We're going to be living. We're going to be moving. We're going to be taking part. We're going to be going about doing what God would have us to do. The idea of being active, living and breathing and moving, actively serving the Lord. Let's look at Psalms number 453 and 454. I mentioned these last Sunday or Sunday before, and we didn't sing the songs, and we probably won't sing them tonight. But I just want to look at them and read those verses that tie in to the kind of people that we're to be, being living stones, being good examples to other people. Number 453, again, let's look at that first three verses and before we read the chorus. O Christian, do not hide your light for ye are the light of the world, but keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world. Now verse 2, the idea of being active. A living stone. One that's doing something. Verse 2. Go show to all the path of right. For ye are the light of the world. Now look at the second verse. The second part of the second verse. Go bring the straying back to right. The light. For ye are the light of the world. So the idea of go and show. Go and bring. It's activity. We're living stones. We're doing something. And then don't become weak. Continue to live and serve God as an active stone in that house of God. Look at verse 3. Oh, do not let your light burn low, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it bright and onward go, for ye are the light of the world. Then number 454, again, the idea of a living stone. One that's active. One that's doing something. One that's accomplishing something. One that's useful. A living stone. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all His wonderful passion and purity. May His Spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. From the dawn of the morning, active now, active, living stones, working. From the dawn of the morning to close of day, in example, in deeds, and in all you say. Lay your gifts at His feet, ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. So, we're described as living stones. We're alive in Christ. We've been purchased with the blood of Christ. We've been brought out of sin, so now we're dead to sin. And we rise to walk in newness of life. Living stone. Romans chapter 6 verses 3 and 4. The apostle Paul describes baptism. Therefore you are buried with him in baptism. bearing the old man of sin and what, and rising to what? Rising to walk in newness of life. A living stone serving God in the body of Christ. We're described as priests. One of the questions in the book this morning, Brother Hartwriter's study in James, was that do we need to go to a priest to have a priest pray for us? And it was so many a true and false question. Well, no, we don't have to go to anything religiously in that form, anything that's made up of man or the ideas of men. We are priests in the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse 5, verse 9, and verse 10. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, in Christ, in the kingdom of God, we are priests. We can offer up sacrifices to God. He allowed us to do that through Jesus, who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We can go to God. We are priests in the kingdom of God. Christians are priests. Then verse 10, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy for now, but have obtained mercy. See, through Jesus Christ, God purchased us from our sins when we by faith obeyed. So what are we able to do? We're now able to approach the throne of grace. We're able to go to God in prayer. Alan led our minds this evening in prayer about 15, 20 minutes ago. He worded a prayer to God the Father. He led us in our thoughts to God, giving thanks for the spiritual things, the material things, for life itself, and for the church, and for our assembly. The prayer he prayed for all those that are sick. He was able to approach God because he's a priest in the kingdom. We're priests in the kingdom. We can approach God in prayer. And so we have a mediator, Jesus Christ, who is there for us. And so we can talk to God. We're His children. Look to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at a few verses concerning the importance of us being priests who serve God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. I worked with a few people over the years that didn't have the same faith as we do. They had a faith. They believed in certain things. But some of them believed if they could go to a religious assembly on Saturday night, and they could go to their priest, and he'd pray for them, and whatever they'd done that week, they'd be okay, but they had to go to him. They had to go see him every Saturday night, or either on Sunday. Or if it was during the week, they could go see him and he could pray for them. Isn't it good to know that as children of God, in the family of God, who've been purchased with the blood of Christ, that we have a Father who is understanding, who is compassionate, who is loving, who is merciful, who has a Son who understands everything that we go through, suffered in every point that we could ever think about suffering in, yet without sin, who is sympathizing, who understands that we can go to God the Father and talk to Him. And they understand. They understand what we're going through. They will hear our prayer when we approach Him in faith. And we've got our life right with God. We can approach Him in faith and lay our burdens on Him. That's why I say bring your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. It took me a lot of years to understand and really comprehend that verse. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. So many years people said, well, you know, I pray to God and I give my prayers, but I just can't get it off my mind. I just worry about it all the time. And so we are human, though, aren't we? We are probably going to worry about some things. But I think we miss that key ingredient as priests, as sojourners, as Christians, as vessels, as those who are in the kingdom of God, that we can take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And then we do what we have the ability to do that He asks us to do. Do what we're able to do on that regard, and the rest of it's in His hands. He does hold us responsible for doing what we're able to do. Take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there. We are a priest. We are a priest. Well, we're sojourners and pilgrims. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Go back there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Sojourners and pilgrims. You know, this world is not our home. Not our permanent home. It's a temporary abode. We're here as sojourners and pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're just staying for a while. We don't really know how long we're going to stay. We're born into life. We live our life. And we're to make the most of our life in serving God. Christians are sojourners and pilgrims. Our time on earth is so uncertain. It's brief at the best. It's not permanent. We're just passing through. And so, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. As such, since we're just passing through, we're sojourners and pilgrims, we're priests, we're servants of God, we're in the kingdom of God, we're vessels to His service. What we need to do is spend our time that while we're here doing the right things that's in keeping with His will. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, and we'll read through verse 17. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's how we're supposed to spend our time on this earth as sojourners and pilgrims. Obeying God, doing His will, obeying the laws of the land that are ordained of God, doing right for the people around us, loving other people and caring for other people. Are we spending our time on earth in the right manner? Are we living up to the name Christian? Because we certainly are sojourners and pilgrims here. We're here for just a short time. Look at song number 230 in our song books. Number 230. I'm not going to keep you much longer this evening. Number 230. Let's sing the first verse. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels back.
can speak from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Sojourners and pilgrims. Last three Sunday nights, including tonight, we've talked about us, children of God. I don't need to lose sight of who I am. I must not lose sight of who I am in regard to God and my duty to Him if I want to go to heaven. You must not lose sight of who you are and what we are and the reason why we're here. And where we're all going, it's like that like precious faith that Adam prayed about in his prayer. We've all got that like precious faith. We not only have the hope, but the assurance of heaven. New Testament describes us as soldiers, athletes, farmers and workers, vessels and fishers of men, salt, light, branches, stewards, ambassadors, living stones, priests, sojourners, and pilgrims. Those words carry a lot of weight. A lot of meaning found within those words. Let us glorify God in the name Christian. And one day, hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter the joys of the Lord." Let us live up to the descriptions that we're described by in the New Testament so we can go home to heaven. If you're here this evening and you haven't been baptized into Christ, you can begin that walk tonight as a Christian by confessing Christ, repenting of your sins, and being baptized. If you're here this evening and you're a child of God and perhaps you haven't lived as you should, and you have something you need to correct in a public way, Jason's going to lead us in the invitation song, and if we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.